There are days when the collect for the Mass so clearly expresses the theme for this celebration. And I love today's collect because it tells us why the Ascension is such an important solemnity in the life of the faithful. So let me read to you part of it again. Gladden us with holy joys, Almighty God, and make us rejoice with devout thanksgiving for the Ascension of Christ, your Son. So here it speaks, first of all, that our hearts would be gladdened with a holy joy, and we would express devout thanksgiving because of the Ascension of Jesus, his exaltation. And then the collect will go on to say why this is so. And where the head has gone before in glory, the body is called to follow in hope. Well, of course, the head is Jesus, and he has ascended to heaven in glory, and we are called to follow in hope. What does that mean? Well, hope, of course, is one of the three theological virtues, and our hope is that we too will one day share in the fullness of his glory. C.S. Lewis, who wrote a series of seven books called The Chronicles of Narnia, expresses this beautifully, this idea, in the last book, which is called The Last Battle. At the very end of this seventh story, three of the main characters who are children actually die in a train accident in England. And these children are named Peter, Edmund, and Lucy. And C.S. Lewis then describes to us their life in this world in relation to the life that they were about to begin. And these are his words. All their life in this world and all their adventures had only been the cover and the title page. Now, at last, they were beginning chapter one of the great story which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. That's hope. To see that this life is just the title page. St. Teresa of Avila put it this way: life in this world is like spending the night in a cheap hotel. Life in this world is like spending a night in a cheap hotel. That's a little bit different than this life being the title page. But it does give us a perspective on what I read from the collect, where the head is gone before, the body is called to follow in hope. Just as Jesus called the apostles to witness to him, so too we are called to live as a hopeful people. It's hard to do, isn't it? Especially in month, whatever this is, 16, 17 of COVID. It's hard to do to live hopefully when so much of what we see in the news around us is so depressing. It's hard to do when, as the Jews said to Pilate, we only have Caesar as our king. It's so hard to live with hope in a world like this, unless we have revelation. Unless we have God showing us and are appropriating and believing that there is a deeper reality and a deeper truth. Now think about it this way with me. All of us are dissatisfied. All of us have longings in our heart that we know cannot be satiated by anything in this world. Every person, whether perhaps they can articulate it explicitly, has a longing for the everlasting. That longing that only can be fulfilled by Christ himself. And this parallels the longings that we have in our natural lives. Think about it this way. Food satisfies hunger. Drink, our thirst. Sleep, our tiredness. Friendship, our loneliness. Knowledge, our ignorance. The same thing is true with everlasting life. St. Augustine so famously said it this way, Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. In that first reading that Odi did from the Acts of the Apostles, We're told that the Lord went about the people proclaiming this kingdom of God in the midst of the kingdoms of this world. And of course, the apostles said, now, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to bring it in its full manifestation so we can show the world that there is a kingdom that is greater than the kingdoms of this world? And Jesus says, no, it's not for you to know the times and the hours of that. It's only known to the Father, but you are called to be my witnesses. It strikes me that at the ascension, there were only 11 people present with Jesus, kind of like us here this morning. And it can be discouraging. At least I can be discouraged by it. But this is, again, part of our story. That when in the world we face obstacles and challenges and pandemics that are bigger than we are, governments making decisions, some of which we might agree with, others which we question. When we live in a world like this, how do we make it through? We've got to believe in this other kingdom. And the King who came from heaven to earth so that he will take us from earth to heaven. And here's the beautiful thing about the incarnation, that Jesus took on our human flesh. He entered into the cheap hotel. He came onto the title page. But we need to remember that although there was a beginning to the incarnation, that is God taking on human flesh, when Jesus ascended into heaven, he did not leave his body behind, but his body is glorified. And it is this theme that St. Mark, at the end of his gospel, tells us that Jesus said that the church was to proclaim to the world that he is the Lord. And because he is the Lord, and because he has taken his seat on the right hand of the Father, what does that represent? In the Bible, the right hand is the seat of authority. And in ways that we cannot often perceive or understand, that from heaven Jesus is governing and actually will ultimately judge the world. And that's why Jesus says, for those who believe and are baptized, they will be saved. But for those who do not believe, they will be condemned. What does that mean? It's one of the hardest sayings of Jesus in the whole of the New Testament. I think it means this, that the way in which we live our life in this world is affecting our heart. And our heart is either becoming more and more open to Jesus and his kingdom, or our heart is becoming closed to him, and we are becoming harder and harder. And as the Bible says, Jesus desires for everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But part of the truth is, there will be those who in the end say, I reject Christ, I reject his grace, I reject his kingdom, I will not see him for who he is. And of course, we see this amongst the 12 themselves with Judas. He saw the exact same thing that the other apostles saw. And I'm sure that the Lord would have forgiven him if he had turned back to him. But the choices that we make in this world can lead to our ultimate separation from Christ. But the good news is, the choices that we make in this world can also draw us ever closer to him. And that's why Jesus says to believe and be baptized. Because what is our baptism? Our baptism is like our passport. It's the declaration that we are members of another country, of another kingdom, that we belong to the kingdom of God. And when we come to this deepening awareness of what it is to be in Christ, listen now again to how this can affect our lives based on what St. Paul wrote in today's reading. If you have your missal at handy, you might turn to page 91 and follow along. If you don't, that's just fine. But remember this, that Paul truly is spending the night in a cheap hotel because he's in jail. He is, in a sense, constricted by the empire that is ruling the world, the Roman Empire. But as he is in this cheap hotel, listen to the perspective that St. Paul has and what his prayer is for you and for me, maybe for having trouble sleeping one night in that cheap hotel. Taking out these words, listen. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, remember what we said in the collect, that our head has gone before into glory? So here, the Father of glory may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him. That's the point. We don't just know him once and for all. We come to know him. It's a deepening relationship. So that, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints. So you see, the saints are those men and women, like Saint Teresa, who were able to see clearly what it is like to live in this world, but they were filled with hope. Now, this is the key of what St. Paul says. He's going to use the word power repeatedly, but in the Greek, he's going to use three different words for power, which in the English are all represented by the same English word. Let me explain what I mean. So, he's talking about this inheritance amongst the saints. And then he'll use the word power for the first time in this context. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power? Now, the word in Greek for power here is the word dynamis, from which we get the word dynamite. So this immeasurable great power is God's creative power, the power that was at work in the Big Bang when God said, "Let there be light." So God's creative power is then joined to God's redemptive power. And let me explain what I mean by what St. Paul says next. For what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of that great power? Now, the word great power here, the Greek word, has to do with this idea of a great act in history. And so here Paul is talking about the incarnation. This is the great act. This is God's powerful redeeming act. So his creative power joined with his redemptive power is then ultimately, I guess you could say like this, fulfilled with what he says next. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Now this third use of the word power is like the English word energy. And the word in Greek is the word energon. So get this. His creative power in the Big Bang, joined to his redemptive power in the great act of the incarnation, is now joined to this energy that is made available to you and to me. And how do we access that energy? Well, Paul puts it so clearly. It is an energy that is made available to us through faith, through what we come to believe. Because he put it like this, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe? What we believe truly matters. It changes our whole perspective on how we deal with COVID and how we deal with everything in our lives. And so on this Ascension Sunday, we are wanting to acknowledge this is a cheap hotel, life in this world. This is just the title page. But when we know who we are, when we know our Lord, when we have the hope of the ascension, then indeed with C.S. Lewis, we can say amen to these words. All their life in this world and all their adventures had been only the cover and the title page. Now at last they were beginning chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever and ever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. Where the head has gone before in glory, the body is called to follow in hope. Jesus, please increase within us the theological virtue of hope. Amen.